And joining us right now at PMP Network is Kathy Trost. She's the author of, co-author with Susan Bennett of a book called President Kennedy Has Been Shot, Experience the Moment-by-Moment Account of the 4 Days That Changed America. For all of us who lived through it, it's something we will never forget. But you can now watch it, listen to it in audio CD. It's amazing.
Yes, I mean, it's kind of a fusion of spoken word and printed word. We were really excited to do it this way because Susan and I had both found all this incredible vintage broadcast that we had never heard before. We didn't think very many people had heard, which included the actual Dallas police dispatch transmissions on the police radio from that day in Dallas, and the government tapes we found at the National Archives that were ground-to-air communications between the White House Situation Room and Kennedy's cabinet, which was flying overseas to Tokyo. So lots of rare tape that really puts you right in the middle of what was going on behind the scenes in history that day.
You have front page papers here, and even in the book, if you forget the CD for a second, the book has photos and pretty much a timeline of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a lot of work that you put into it, but an amazing capsule of American history here.
Yeah, well, it's minute by minute. We wanted to show the 4 days from the assassination until the two funerals, which were on Monday, both President Kennedy's and Lee Harvey Oswald's. And Susan and I were both reporters ourselves. This is partly a production of The Newseum, which takes people behind the scenes to show how news really works. And we wanted to go back and interview the journalists who were the eyewitnesses to history, because at that time in history, they really were. There were no live cameras on the motorcade route. There were no mini cams. They really had these front row seats, and they interpreted what was happening for the rest of the world.
The narrator of the CD happens to be CBS's Dan Rather.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we were thrilled.
Yeah.
He was a Cub reporter in Dallas that day for CBS, and he played a major role in coverage.
He's one of the first journalists to confirm the death of the president.
Yes, he had called Parkland Hospital and amazingly got a doctor to confirm unofficially that the president was dead. And that was part of the problem that reporters faced that day. It was really chaotic, hard to get information, and there were a lot of unconfirmed reports. And it took nearly an hour, more than an hour, between the time Kennedy was shot and the official announcement was made. And, you know, reporters were on the air the whole time.
Now, you also wrote a book about 9/11 as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was called Running Toward Danger, also under the banner of the Newseum. And that was much the same format, though not with audio, about how reporters covered the terrorist attacks on America.
Mm. It's another day that we won't forget. But for folks like myself, I won't forget everything about that because I was a little kid. I stayed home from school because I was sick, watching soap operas, which is all there was on TV. When they cut in to say that the president had been shot, and it didn't mean much to me. I think I was about 8 or 9 years old, but I told my mother, and she would start crying. And I said, so I started crying, too, of course.
You know, we've heard that over and over from kids who were too little to really know what was going on at the time. What they remember is their parents crying, and that made a huge impression on them. And you watch TV, so did the world, and that was really, that TV came of age that weekend. That really was the turning point for television news. It was the first time it went uninterrupted without commercials for 4 days, and it really sort of surpassed print that weekend as the news source that people began to turn to.
Because it was such a visual medium, and
yes,
that, you know, obviously that was a visual story. But it's interesting, you know, when you look back at that, though, to just think of where you were and how you evolved. And I know one of the things that evolved with me was because of that was I started really getting an interest in the Kennedys and supporting them.
Mm-hmm.
until Ted started getting just completely demented to the left, so far to the left that he's just now falling over. That other than that, though, I've always been a Kennedy fan.
Well, right, I lived right outside of Boston. I was in grade school, so of course that was the central headquarters of the Kennedys, and I think it was particularly poignant for people in that area. But I think, you know, this generation's "where were you when" moment will be 9/11, and perhaps there will be people who will turn, you know, will focus in on history now from that event, like my kids. You know, I think you're right. These kinds of historical moments are defining moments. They transform the country, and in the Kennedys' case, they transform the media.
Yeah, for my lifetime, I think for the kids now, the big moment is having Michael Jackson moonwalk into handcuffs.
I hope not. I hope that's not the transforming moment of their lives.
And that'll be the end of the whole thing is just bizarre. There's so many bizarre stories now that, you know, between the Massachusetts court and their decision and some of the things that are going on around the country, it's just, it's amazing. It's a lot of good fodder for the talk shows.
It is, and you know, it's kind of interesting when you look back to TV news then, it was so much simpler. You know, there were no crawls along the bottom. Coverage wasn't thematic. There were, you know, in a lot of ways they were hampered because they didn't have very good technology. When Walter Cronkite went on the air to make the first announcement, he broke into one of those soap operas you were watching
right.
at the time. You never saw his face in the beginning because they didn't have a camera warm enough at CBS to go on the air. It took 20 minutes to warm up a TV camera. So in many ways they were more primitive then, but in many ways they were more innocent.
Yeah, and I'll never forget actually watching Walter that day, and I really like Walter, and he lives in Massachusetts. He's a good guy, but I mean, you know, he really almost lost it on the air that day.
He
teared up, and he was starting to lose it. He got it back together as a professional that he was, but his voice was completely choked up.
Oh yeah, and we talked to him for the book, and you know, he acknowledges it, and he's not embarrassed. You know, it was clear that he was human, and. He, you know, Kennedy was the youngest elected president at the time. He's frozen sort of in our memories at age 46 when he died. And there were a lot of people in that time who were of his generation who really did identify with him, or at least this sort of new generational spirit that he embodied. And newsmen and women, although they were rarer then, really had as much emotion and grief as the rest of the country, but because they're supposed to be professionally detached,
right.
you know, they're not allowed to show it.
And again, interestingly, in the book, Walter Cronkite says, I don't recall crying at all, but I did wipe my eyes, so I guess I must have felt a tear or two. That was a very momentary thing. I did show emotion quite clearly, but I think I managed to swallow that problem pretty quickly and get on with the broadcast. I'm proud of that, and I'm not ashamed of choking up for the moment at all.
Right.
So that pretty much tells it all.
Right. And there are other moments on the CD where we really hear reporters breaking up on the air, a radio reporter reporting when the casket came back to the White House early Saturday morning, tries to recite one of Kennedy's favorite poems and just falls apart, you know?
Mm.
And sometimes they couldn't hold it in.
I remember actually watching the famous salute of John John, which you have in the timeline here, and crying. Watching the little boy doing that.
Yeah. I mean, we tried to mix iconic photographs like that in the book with rare photographs that most people had never seen, a lot of them reporters in action, to sort of illustrate, you know, the chaos and what it took to really cover this story that day.
You know, you look at, you know, Lyndon Johnson in the pictures in here, he looks very somber and stuff, and you wonder when you hear all these conspiracy theories, you know, what really happened and why it happened, and I'm not sure we'll ever find that out.
No, you know, Susan and I, my co-author, we really avoided the C word, as we called it. We just, you know, there's been a lot written on it and certainly much more to come. And this book we tried to have as an unvarnished look just through the eyes of the reporters who covered it. Very intimate details that they remembered, and leave the sort of theories about who did it and why to others.
Yeah, it's all facts, and it's really amazing. There's some great photos in here too.
Thank you.
The picture of Oswald on the stretcher, I never saw that one before.
Yeah, and you know, you can go back and see that archival television footage too. It's just astonishing. I don't know if you were watching television when that happened.
I watched Jack Ruby shoot him.
Oh.
And there's a great picture in the book here, which is a classic photo. But I actually watched that moment, and I'll never forget that. I couldn't believe it. You know, it sounded like a couple of firecrackers or something, or a cap gun. And boom, boom, he was on the ground.
First live murder on television.
Mm.
You know?
It was just amazing. Now, of course, it's, you know, routine. every newscast.
Yeah, but I mean, in this case, you know, there were hundreds of reporters crammed into that police basement documenting what they thought was just a routine transfer, and the only network that got it live was NBC.
Mm.
They were the only one that had the air thrown to them, and the other two were recording it for playback back later.
That's interesting. I mean, I was watching the other day when Robert Blake's trial, when that attorney was shot point blank by that client of his. Remember that picture?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, okay. Well, right outside the courtroom where all the photographers were, this guy just started shooting at this other guy.
Oh, behind the tree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was caught on camera. The guy didn't die or anything. In fact, he was superficially hurt, but all right. Right. But I mean, that was live on many of our TV sets.
You're right, you know, and now it's, I mean, unbelievably, we're getting a little coarsened to it.
Mm.
But at that time, in 1963, this was just riveting and horrifying television.
It was the first reality TV for America, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
And it was the time TV came of age, really. I mean, that's when we became a TV nation, because for 4 days we sat around and watched television without commercials. Before that, you really sort of wanted to see it in print before you believed it. TV news suddenly really became the dominant medium at that point.
Yeah, for folks like me who actually sat through this whole thing and witnessed everything, when you read the book, it brings it all back to you. For folks out there who are too young to remember this, this is an incredible piece of document of history. It's a fantastic book. I got to recommend it highly. It has the CD that has all the broadcast and moment-to-moment accounts that of those 4 days when America really shut down.
Yes, it did. We were paralyzed. The stores were shut. Broadway went dark. College football games were canceled. Some of the borders were sealed. We really stayed inside watching television and grieving.
That's all we did. Every American was right by the TV set. And again, now that you have 24-hour news networks, tons of them, news has changed, because now they go on the air. Sometimes they don't even have anything to say.
Right.
They stand there and report the same thing they just did 20 minutes ago. I mean, who would have thought that they would have interrupted programming all over TV yesterday to show Michael Jackson in handcuffs?
Right.
I found that actually offensive.
Right.
I mean, if you want to be on a news channel, that's fine, but to interrupt regular programming to show Michael Jackson being arrested,
right,
I thought was really inappropriate.
Well, and isn't it November sweeps or something? I don't quite understand television myself, but I'm told that, you know, this is a boost to ratings, which, you know, all I can say is it was a lot different in November 1963.
It really was a lot different then, and if you want to find out how different it was, you can get this book. It's called President Kennedy Has Been Shot. It is actually from Source Books,
yes,
and Media Fusion. Experience the moment-by-moment accounts, or as our friend Walter Cronkite would say, experience the moment-to-moment account of the 4 days that changed America.
And that's the way it was.
And that's the way it is, and the way it was, and the way it will be. Well, it was a pleasure to talk to you, Kathy Trost, and good luck on the book. I hope it does real well.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.